Today's gospel is found in the 13th chapter of Matthew, one section, and then skipping on to another section, 18 to 23, found on page 794 in your Bibles. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the lake. Such great crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat there while the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, "Listen, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell on the path, and the birds came and ate them up. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and they sprang up quickly, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and brought forth grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Let anyone with ears listen." And then skipping to verse 18, where Jesus explains the parable. He says, "Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what is sown in the heart. This is what was sown on the path. As for those, what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet such a person has no root, but endures only for a while. And when trouble or persecution arise on account of the word, that person immediately falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the lure of wealth choke the word, and it yields nothing. But as for the one what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears good fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. The gospel of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Please have a seat. Well, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from Jesus Christ, his only Son. Good. Well, I think we messed up the word good a little bit in the English language, because good is a measure of quality. And if you receive a good on your paper when you're in school, you'd go, "What did I do wrong? Is there something I can do better? You know, I'd like to be a great or an excellent or awesome," right? So we think about good as on a scale of it's good, kind of good enough, but it'd be great if it was better than good. How was that food? You might say, it was good. It doesn't sound very good, does it? Or you say, how's the team this year? Oh, they're pretty good. They might win, they might lose. Well, good in school kind of meant you got a B. And if you're really one of those people motivated to get the A, good wasn't enough. So I think we've really messed up the meaning of good in English. Today I want to recover the biblical meaning of the word good, because our aspirational value at Shepherd of the Hills is that Shepherd of the Hills is a place where people experience good, get to be the living church, and become active witnesses. And we have been spending the last couple weeks on the phrase, get to be the living church. And I want to think today, what does experience good really mean? To begin to recover the meaning of good, we need to go to the very beginning, which is Genesis chapter 1. And we need to... Because God used the word good to express his pleasure in creating the world and us. Several times, seven times to be exact, the word good appears in Genesis chapter 1. Good is about everything that God made. So after each day, almost each day, one day it's not mentioned, but it appears seven times, twice in one day, the word good ends the work that God has done when he sees the good that he's made in creation. And he always says, God saw all that he had made, and it was good. God saw all that he had made, and it was good. And on the very last time the word is used in verse 31, the last time God says, and God saw that all that he had made, and it was very good. Now the word good, I have it there in Hebrew, is tob. That means good. And good in Hebrew, in my pocket Hebrew dictionary that I have, it says these words describe the word tob. The word is beautiful, good, excellent, pleasant, lovely, fruitful, sound, cheerful, kind. Good is all those things, as God says it. That's what tob means. And when he says the word very good, or meod, tob meod, as it's said in the scriptures, that word means power, strength, force, much, greatly, exceedingly, very. So good, as God uses it, is a word of completeness, a word of fullness. When my Pentateuch, which is my professor in Pentateuch, which is studying the first five books of the Bible, taught on this first chapter of Genesis chapter 1, he would try to explain the word good in this way. When he talked about good, he said, God saw that it was good. Okay? Just good. Like it's just full, so fulfilling. So I want you to picture in your mind, as I say the word good, these images. Beautiful, excellent, pleasant, lovely, fruitful, sound, cheerful, and kind. And then speak with me this word, good. Ready? One, two, three. Good. Can you think of some of those good things that God gives us? Well, Isaiah does in this beautiful chapter, in this beautiful section. He's thinking about a beautiful harvest. Add Amanda find a beautiful garden that's on the front cover of your bulletin today. A garden that looks lush and fertile and growing and green. That's a good place, a good garden. The word of God accomplishing what is purposed is what Isaiah is celebrating. And that word is changing hearts. It's guiding and comforting his people. It ends with that word that says to go out with joy and come home with peace. Having a home is good. Having a place to live. I also love the good image of where we stand in relation with God as expressed in Romans. He is our Father in heaven, and he's not a distant Father. He's not a Father that we can't reach or touch or relate to. It says in verse 15, as it says here, let's read that section together. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption. When we cry, Abba, Father, it is that very spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And it goes on to say, if children, then heirs, an heir of God, a joint heir with Christ. It's not just someone who is in the family, but someone who's receiving the inheritance and all the privileges and blessings of being in the family. Even in fact, it says that if we suffer with him, we will also be glorified with him. And so this concept that he is our Father, not just a distant God, but Abba, that's like daddy in Hebrew, that is, or Aramaic. Abba is the familiar term of Father. That's good. We can experience God as our Heavenly Father. We've sang that song before by Cain, which says, I'm a child of God. He says, on my best day, I'm a child of God. On my worst day, I'm a child of God. Oh, every day, it's a good day. He's the reason why I'm so blessed. That's this experience of that we are being held in God's fullness, and we are his children. We are at home with Jesus. God is our Father, and we call him Abba. Jesus taught his disciples when they prayed to pray differently, not just recite traditional prayers, but to approach God with a sense of familiarity and honesty. This kind of prayer requires a deep understanding of who God is and who we are in relation to him. When we make our home with our Heavenly Father, it is good. Jesus speaks in this famous parable about four kinds of soil. And I want to spend the rest of my time today with you really pondering the significance and meaning of each soil type, especially when relating to our church. So, let's see. Jesus teaches, listen, a sower went out to sow. And he describes the four kinds of seed. First of all, the sower is extravagant. He throws seed everywhere. He looks at all the thorns and he still throws seeds in the thorns. Or that's not very good soil. Well, it's rocky. That's okay. Oh, that's a path. Well, I'm still throwing seeds there. And then some lands on good soil. And this is one of the parables which is unusual, where Jesus actually explains this as an allegory. Most parables have one main point, but this one is an allegory, meaning the objects in the parable represent things and truths about God. So he says there's four types of soil. Some seeds fell on the path, and then he explains it, and the birds came and ate them up. If anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what is sown in the heart. So that's the word didn't have a chance. Before even the word was given or received, the evil one came and took it away. And that person never got to hear the word. Second type of soil is other seeds fell on rocky ground where they did not have much soil and they sprang up quickly since they had no depth of soil. But the sun rose and they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. He explains it as, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet such a person has no root, but endures only for a little while, and then trouble or persecution arises on account of the word, and that person immediately falls away. I think we can identify that in our lives or that in people's lives, that they are enthusiastic about faith, but then as persecution or hardship comes, which it will, when a person believes in Jesus Christ, the devil does not want that to happen. And so there will be hardship. There will be hard times. And some, because there's no chance for that word to grow root, will fall away when that happens. The third type of soil, he says, is other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. This is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the lure of wealth choke the word, and it yields nothing. So when you grow up with thorns, we talk about how important it is that we have brothers and sisters in Christ. Because if you're all by yourself and you're living in the same place that you live, say this is true of a new Christian, but also like an alcoholic, if you're getting help and you're in recovery and you're growing and you're learning, but then you go still hang out in the bar, that recovery is not going to last very long because you need to find new friends. You need to find a new experience. And that's what the thorns are. They represent those people or influences that draw us away from God. It's including not just people, but the cares of the world and the lure of wealth, choking out the word. And then the final type of soil is good soil. Jesus says about that one, this is the one who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. That song we sang it last Sunday called Good Soil, which is a beautiful prayer, and I put it up here, and we could probably swing it and do it a cappella, don't you think, Matthew? So it's really a prayer about our hearts being this sort of soil that would receive and absorb the word. So let's try to sing it together. Lord, let my heart be good soil, open to the seed of your word. That's a little low. Lord, let my heart be good soil, where love can grow and peace is understood. When my heart is hard, break the stone away. When my heart is cold, warm it with the day. When my heart is lost, lead me on your way. Lord, let my heart, Lord, let my heart, Lord, let my heart be good soil. I think we got some choir members out here. That sounded really good. That is the prayer, that the good soil is that we would receive the word, that we would love the word, that it would grow in us, that peace would happen in our lives. That's a song about experiencing good. So as we've talked about today, good is home with God, being at home with him. Good is being adopted by God and knowing that he is our Father. And good is receiving the word and having that word grow in us, having the word live in us. Jesus spoke of good soil as a condition of hearts being receptive to God's word. Good soil is where love, growth, peace, and worship will flourish. My hope and prayer for each and every one of you as your pastor and as your brother in Christ is that your time here at Shepherd of the Hills, however long it has been or may be, would be a time when you experience good. Experience good. Good is a safe place where friendship and community and service and compassion are lived out, which results in growing hope in Christ. So, do you get it now, what I mean about we need to recover the word good? It's not a couple notches down from great. Good in the Bible is beautiful, excellent, pleasant, lovely, fruitful, sound, cheerful, and kind. That is good. The question to leave you with today is, what is our role in making good happen? I want to go back a little bit first. What's our role in making good happen here at Shepherd of the Hills? Well, there's three words that I think help more than most when we think about experiencing good. And it's these three little words: assume good will. Assume good will. What do I mean by that? Well, now we live in a world where it'd be naive, even foolish, to assume every human on the planet is really out for the greater good, because we know there is evil, there is trouble, there is people who are out for evil intent. But inside these walls, and as we take the joy of Christ into our homes and our neighborhoods, what we aspire to be, and that's why this is an aspirational goal, is that we would assume the best of another person, not the worst. That we would give them the benefit of the doubt, if you will. That we'd assume goodwill of them and not like, oh, they're out to get me. Or they're, what they did was so mean and it was so directed right at me, and I'm going to think poorly of them. Assuming goodwill is assuming the best in another person, assuming that their intentions, although they may not come off the greatest way, assuming that behind their intentions, they were really trying to do what's best, trying to do what's good, what would help Christ's cause or the church. Assuming good is a way we can experience good. We read the parable of the sower, and you can easily evaluate the people we know, right? Oh, I know somebody that's like that, who has this, he's growing, not able to grow, or though Satan snatched the word from him, or he didn't grow up because he's too tempted by the ways of the world. We can easily do that. But I think we can also honestly look at our own lives, honestly look at where we've been, and we could probably evaluate and say, you know, I've been every one of those soils at different times in my life. And when you honestly look at yourself and you think, what type of soil describes us, You know, first look at yourself. It's so easy to be clinical, meaning let's pick everything apart. Let's make sure it's the right thing, message for me, or cynical, like, you know what cynicism is. It's not really experiencing good. It's looking for even cynicism, like it's not that good, or criticism, it's bad, and I'm going to find all the ways to pick things apart. That's a different way of looking at the world. That's not experiencing good. But we look in this parable, and today we look to the sower. The sower is Jesus. He's sowing the word indiscriminately. He's giving it. He's sharing it. And he knows that it's not all going to fall on good soil. But he is still lavish and generous in giving. He doesn't look at the soil and say, oh, that looks like a good place to plant a seed. You get one seed. That's it. Grow. No, he's lavish. So I challenge you and urge you, for the sake of your brothers and sisters in Christ and for the sake of our church, Shepherd of the Hills, to be a person of wonder. You know, have the faith of a child. No one's born a cynic. That happens as we grow and experience life. Every child enters the world with a sense of wonder, and it's disappointment and disillusionment that makes people have to interrogate everything or question everything or be cynical about everything. Maybe it's even the hurts that you've experienced that make us deaf to the kindness of God's promises. Perhaps we shield our hearts with questions and cynicism to protect our wounds. But I challenge you today to let Christ help you, help me, look and take an honest look at our wounds and our hurts and seek healing and restoration. Our aspirational goal at Shepherd of the Hills is to look at each other with gentle eyes, gentle words, assume goodwill, and pray that our hearts could be good soil. And that's my prayer for you, for as long as you are at Shepherd of the Hills. If it's just today, it's still my prayer for you. But that you would experience good. And that you can say when about your experience here, and you can say it with me, that it was good. Let's read together how Jesus concludes the parable in Luke. But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering produce a crop. Please pray with me. Lord Jesus, thank you for sticking with us. Even when your word falls upon our lives and we are deaf or hard or just not open, thank you, Lord, that you keep sowing the seed. You're sowing the seed again today, drawing us closer, helping us trust, helping us believe, helping us heal the hurts and the disillusionment and disappointments that we have in life. Lord, your word is so good, and because of your good word, and because your word comes to us and lives in us, yes, truly we do. Are people of peace and understanding, and that because of that we can experience good by assuming goodwill in others and being open and receptive to those all around us. Lord, help us to grow and heal and love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.